Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Monday, June 24th, and here's what's driving the day. Overnight, Reuters broke the news that prosecutors at the Department of Justice have recommended to their superiors that Boeing should be criminally charged in the case about whether the company violated an agreement related to two fatal crashes in 2018 and 2019. DOJ has until July 7th to make a final decision on that matter. We'll be watching that closely today. Colorado, Utah, and New York hold primaries tomorrow. There's a ton of intrigue with national implications in House, Senate, and gubernatorial races across those three states. This morning in Playbook, we break down what you should be watching out west in Colorado and Utah. Tomorrow, we're going to tackle New York. In Utah, we're watching four big races. The first is the gubernatorial primary, where incumbent Governor Spencer Cox is likely to prevail. The main question we're watching really is, will Trump make an Election Eve endorsement today? Cox is a Trump critic. Trump, interestingly, has not endorsed his right-wing election-denying opponent, Phil Lyman, even though Trump pardoned Lyman in 2020. There's also a Senate primary where Trump did endorse. That's to replace Mitt Romney, that race. And we'll be watching very closely to see if Trump's favored candidate, Trent Staggs, the mayor of Riverton, Utah, is able to make a race against Representative John Curtis. Curtis is leaving the House to run for Senate. He's heavily favored, and he's the sort of Romney-like candidate in that race. So we'll be watching that closely. Again, you know, Utah, not exactly a state that always listens to Trump. Finally, two House races to watch. Utah 3, won't get into all the details, but one of the interesting things about that race is Ukraine has become an issue. This is the seat that Curtis left. Curtis supported aid to Ukraine. There are several people running in that race to replace Curtis, who said they would oppose aid to Ukraine. So watch that one closely. Finally, Utah 2, essentially a proxy battle between Senator Mike Lee and Speaker Mike Johnson. Trump has lined up with Mike Johnson and endorsed the incumbent, Celeste Malloy. Meanwhile, Mike Lee has abandoned Celeste Malloy over some of her votes that she did at the behest of Johnson and has endorsed combat veteran Colby Jenkins. Malloy is favored to win. In Colorado, not going to get into all the details here, but four races where they all come down to the same thing, MAGA versus the establishment. So by the end of tomorrow night, we'll see which side of the Republican Party has bragging rights in those four House primaries. Finally, today is the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision, and abortion rights advocates have a big announcement planned. Here to chat with me more about that new initiative is healthcare reporter Alice Miranda Olstein. Good morning, Alice.
Hi there.
Okay, so today is the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision, and you have some news this morning about a coalition on the left that's coming together. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so a lot of major groups in the abortion rights space are coming together under this umbrella, forming a new group called Abortion Access Now, and they are pledging to spend $100 million over the next several years in order to win back the federal protections for abortion that were lost when the Supreme Court struck down Roe versus Wade. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal coming in the middle of a campaign for control of the White House and control of Congress. And it's a big deal because, you know, for the past 2 years, we've seen mainly the fight moving to the state level. We've seen all of these state level votes, state level campaigns around abortion access. And this is really the progressive side of things throwing down the gauntlet and saying we're going to fight on the federal level as well.
All right, Alice, I want to ask you about two parts of this that you write about. One is what they're going to be spending the money on this year. To what extent is this about supporting ballot initiatives and helping abortion rights candidates win versus something else? And then one of the most interesting parts of your piece is the policy fight among abortion rights supporters about where to go and whether just restoring limited protections of the Roe decision itself is enough. So break that all down for us.
Sure. So you're not going to see this money going to the ballot initiatives because those are state level and this campaign is really focused on the federal fight. But you are going to see this money going to holding a lot of events to galvanize voters who are upset about the fall of Roe versus Wade. The organizers told me their goal is to channel all of that ongoing outrage and anger into action. So they're going to be holding events in a bunch of swing states, you know, the states that are seen as key to which party controls things in Washington next year. So this is really going to be something that stretches beyond just this election cycle. They are trying to play the long game in a way that the right has been really successful on. The right played the long game for 50 years before they, you know, won the overturn of Roe. And so now this group on the left is saying, you know, we need to do the same. We need to think far ahead in the future. Like you mentioned, there are some divisions, not within this group, but just within the broader left in general, on the right way to move forward right now. There's a camp of people who say we should call for the restoration of Roe versus Wade. That is, you know, politically palatable. It's, you know, something people can rally behind. President Joe Biden is in that camp. That's a pledge he explicitly makes on the campaign trail, is to fight for the restoration of Roe. But you have a lot of progressive activists who are really adamant that that does not meet the moment. They say Roe was never good enough. Even under Roe, there were many, many restrictions on abortion, not total bans, but restrictions that put it out of reach for many people. And so they're saying, you know, we're in a moment where there's more support for abortion rights than ever before. We should seize on that. We shouldn't sort of pre-compromise and come in, you know, with half measures. And so they want to push for protections for abortion throughout pregnancy, as well as, you know, financial support for people who struggle to afford it and all of these things.
So this fight between the two sides, just say a little bit more about what the specific policy disagreements are or are likely to be going forward.
So what Roe did was it protected abortion at the federal level only up to the point of fetal viability. So when the fetus could survive outside the womb. And that's around 22, 24 weeks into pregnancy. And so even when Roe was in place, states were allowed to restrict abortion after that point. And many, many did. There are activists who are now saying Roe was the floor, not the ceiling. So, you know, Roe is the bare, bare minimum, but we should aim for higher.
And that leads me to my last question here, Alice. At the end of this piece, you write about the similar divisions on the right and among Republicans. You note that Trump and many Republican lawmakers argue that abortion should be left to the states, but there are cracks. Tell us about the divisions on the right.
Absolutely. So you have a lot of anti-abortion activists and conservative leaders who argue that Trump is completely wrong, that abortion should be left to the states. They think it is absolutely within the purview of the federal government, and they have been upset with Trump over that point. They argue that abortion is inherently federal because it's regulated by several different federal agencies, and thus it's fair game for the federal government to impose restrictions or even a total ban, which is, you know, what many are advocating for. And so it remains to be seen what will happen. Like you mentioned, a lot of Republican elected officials and aspiring elected officials have really fallen in line behind Trump's position on that. I will note quickly, too, there is also a split between Trump and the base on the issue of exceptions. Trump insists that there should be rape and incest exceptions in abortion bans, and that is not something that a lot of conservatives and anti-abortion activists support. They argue that allowing a rape exception and allowing people to terminate those pregnancies is, you know, in their words, you know, answering one tragedy with another tragedy, or I've heard them say, you know, you're punishing the child for the sins of the parent. They make different arguments there, but that's another division to really keep an eye on going forward.
Got it. Alice, thank you so much for breaking this down for us, and nice scoop today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are out. President Biden is going to be at Camp David all week for debate prep. And so the only thing on his schedule is receiving the daily brief. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.